Hey everybody, welcome back to Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. I am Evelyn.
And I'm Crystal, and thank you so much for being here with us today.
Before we jump in, I want to say this right up front. We are not pastors. We are not biblical scholars. We are just two women who love the Lord, love His Word, and love talking through what we're learning in our Tuesday night Bible study.
Yes, and this is really just our weekly recap. So we're sharing what stood out to us, what got our wheels turning, and what our group talked through together.
Yeah, and I also want to make sure we give credit where it belongs. This week, we're continuing with our week three of The King is Coming, a book that is written by John Bevere. Mm-hmm. And the lesson this week is on the ancient Jewish wedding.
And just so we're up front, we're not actually reteaching his lesson at all. We're not reading through his material. We are simply just talking about it, giving you our takeaways from what we studied, basically as a group.
That's right. So if you want the full teaching, please go through the John Bevere, The King is Coming study for yourself. He has a book, a study book, and then he also does like a streaming that goes along with it. We're just sitting down and talking through with what stayed with us after our Tuesday night study.
Yes, and I'll say the study this week, there is a lot to unpack.
Yeah, actually, there sure was. There are some weeks where we finish the lesson and we think, oh, that was good. But then there are other weeks when it starts to really connecting the dots all over the place. And this was one of those studies.
Yes. And honestly, it really makes you look at like the more familiar verses just very differently.
Yeah, it sure does. You hear phrases like we heard during the study, the bride of Christ, or where Jesus is saying, I go to prepare a place for you, or the wedding supper of the Lamb. Those are all verses we're all familiar with. Most of us know those verses, but when you start looking at the Jewish wedding picture behind them, it really adds weight to all of it.
Yeah, and it also just makes it feel so much personal too.
Yeah, it's true. It really does. So before we get going, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word, and thank you for the way you teach us, correct us, and keep drawing us back to you. We ask that you guide this conversation, help us speak clearly, stay grounded in scripture, and say what needs to be said without adding noise to it. Let this be helpful to the person listening. Mm-hmm. Let it point people back to Jesus, not to us. Open our hearts, sharpen our understanding, and help us not just hear truth, but live it. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
What do you say?
Amen.
All right. So week three, again, the title for this week was The Ancient Jewish Wedding. Mm-hmm. When I first saw the title, I thought, okay, you know, probably it's going to be a pretty interesting because it's going to be background information, right? But it really ended up being a lot more than just background. It showed really how much meaning there is behind the language Jesus used.
Yeah, and that stuck with me too. So it wasn't just history for history's sake.
Right.
Like, it really helped explain why certain verses are worded the way they are.
Yeah, that's true. I think that sometimes when we read scripture with our modern eyes and understanding, that we truly miss what the original hearers of the word really would have picked up on right away. Mm-hmm. And he talked about that. Jesus was saying things that meant something very specific in that culture and time. So they picked up on it like immediately where, you know, took us. We've read through this before. It's not the first time we went through this scripture. Yeah. And it really hit hard differently, I think, this time around with the help of John Bevere's explanations.
Right. So, I mean, when you understand their culture,
right,
then it changes really how you hear it and understand it.
Right. And I think actually it makes sense that you would, in order to really get a whole grasp of it, you do have to really think about their culture and the time they lived in.
Right.
Because we can't, it's really hard to look at us, how our weddings are and all this stuff is today. You know, it moves from a nice verse to like, wait a minute, there's more there than I realized.
Absolutely.
You know, when you put it in the true culture time. So I think one of the big takeaways from the lesson is that the ancient Jewish wedding gives us a picture of like redemption. And once you start looking at it, you see it. There was intentional. There was like intentionality. There was covenant. There was a cost. And they talked about that quite a bit. There was preparation and there was waiting.
Yes.
And then there was a coming reunion. Mm-hmm. So that was not a real small connection. He connected it all. He connected all the dots pretty nicely.
Yeah, and it also helps to see that the relationship between Christ and his church is not described as some casual agreement. You know, it's an actual covenant.
Yeah, really. And actually, that part really mattered. We live in a time where people treat commitment like it's optional.
That's
you know,
true.
Like today, people, it's,
so
yeah,
high.
Exactly. The divorce rate's high. People think nothing of just filing for divorce today. They really don't think things through. They don't work things through. Everything seems to be temporary, you know, like, oh, no big deal. It's just a piece of paper almost, you know. Mm-hmm. We're back in ancient times. It was truly in Jesus, and he wants it to be this way. It's a covenant.
Yep.
You know, everything today is based on feelings. If it gets too hard, people walk away. If it gets too inconvenient, people back out of it, you know, and that really, like I said, is not how God deals with his people. And that's not how he intended it.
Right. And I mean, when God makes a covenant, I mean, he means it.
Yes. Yes. And when the lesson talked about the bride price,
mm-hmm.
now that really hit home too, because when you connect that to Jesus paying for his bride and his own blood, it reminds you that salvation costs something, and not just a little something. It was everything,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. And it also makes you stop taking grace so lightly because it did come with such a heavy price.
Right. That's it. Not in a way that puts you under guilt, but in a way that wakes us up. You know, we were not bought cheap.
No.
Jesus gave himself. And I think that matters because people can get really too casual with holy things. We've talked about that a lot. They want the comfort of being saved, but without really letting the truth change how they live.
Yeah, and it's almost like they want all the promises, but they don't want to have to surrender.
Yeah, there you go. That'll preach all by itself right there.
Okay. So another part that really stood out in the lesson was the idea of the groom going to prepare a place.
Yes, and that takes John 14 to another level. When Jesus said, quote, I go to prepare a place for you, end quote, he wasn't just saying something comforting so his people would feel better in that moment. He was actually speaking with meaning that they would have understood because they reference, you know, with that reference to the bridegroom.
Yeah. And understanding that, it gives the verse a whole different feel.
Yeah, it really does. Because now we can see the care in it, you know, the intention in it. There's a promise in it. He wasn't just saying, I'm heading out, good luck, right? He was saying, I'm going and I am coming back for you. That gives a whole different feel.
Right. And it also ties into the fact that the timing was connected to the Father.
Yes, and that's very strong piece of it, right? The groom didn't just decide on his own whenever he felt like it. I mean, the Father had a huge role, just like the Father has a huge role in Jesus coming back. So when you hear Jesus say that no one knows the day or the hour, only the Father, and that totally lands differently. That really gives us a true understanding of what he means by it. He really doesn't know. And when the Lord sends him back, that's when he'll know.
Right. And I mean, it's all connected. And I hope you guys are feeling it too.
Yeah, true.
Because it's all just coming together.
It really does. And I think that's one reason this week stayed with us. It wasn't just like giving information. It was showing how tightly scripture fits all together.
Yes.
You know? So now this is where it gets a little personal, because once you understand the picture, the question becomes, how does the bride live while she waits?
Yes.
Right. And that being the church now. Right.
Yep.
And that's where I think this lesson really stopped being interesting and really started being personal, because we really should think about that pretty deeply.
Yeah, because now it's not just about what happened in a wedding custom.
Right.
You know, because now that's about us.
That's right. And let's be honest, most of us don't mind promises. We do mind the waiting. Waiting will show, you know, what you're really made of.
Yeah, sure will.
It'll show whether you're steady or whether you're just like spiritually excited.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're having some spiritual excitement. It'll really show whether your faith has true roots or whether it's mostly running on feelings,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think it'll also show whether you're really still seeking God when life feels ordinary or when prayers aren't being answered on your schedule and when nothing dramatic is happening. So it really points out all those areas.
Yeah, and I mean, that's real life, right? Because a lot of people do well when everything feels fresh. But day in and day out, I mean, faithfulness is another story when life just, you know, gets hard or messy.
That's true. You know, Tuesday night Bible study is one thing. Wednesday morning, when you're feeling tired, irritated, yep. My coffee hasn't quite kicked in yet. I mean, that's a whole nother story.
Absolutely.
So I think that's where faith has to be more than just a moment.
Right.
The waiting really matters because life is mostly lived there. Our life is in the waiting.
That's true. That's very true. And I mean, one thing to keep thinking about or just to keep in mind is that the bride had responsibilities while she waited. She wasn't just waiting. Like, she was busy doing stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that part really stayed with me. I did not realize a lot of what we listened to in Jemavir. You know, she didn't just sit around staring out the window all day. There was preparation, you know. There was attention. There was a way she was supposed to carry herself while waiting for the bridegroom.
Yep.
And that really says a lot to, like, all of us, like, in waiting for Jesus' return, kind of tells us what we should be doing as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it truly does, because following Jesus, I mean, it's not just a passive thing. It's something we have to do actively.
Yep. And the idea that you can just drift through your walk with God and everything is fine, that's a dangerous mindset.
Yeah.
There is a way we should be living, and that is, it's not to earn salvation, not to try to impress God, but because we belong to Him.
I mean, yeah, and that's an important difference.
It is, because anytime you start talking about being ready, some people immediately tense up, like you're trying to put them, like, under the law. But that's not what this is. This is about a true relationship with Jesus. It's about being devoted to Him. This is about not treating the return of Jesus like it's some side topic that has nothing to do with everyday life.
Right.
You know, if we really believe He's coming, then that should shape everything in us and it should shape our walk every day.
Yeah, I mean, it should affect how we live, you know, what we allow, what we feed on, and how we spend our time. Our life should show that we are living a life set apart from the world in following Jesus.
Absolutely.
If we look like the world, then are we really following Jesus?
Yeah, absolutely. Then, of course, the lesson brings you to the picture of keeping oil in the lamp.
Yes.
And I think everybody hears that and knows it matters.
Yeah.
But it's worth asking what that looks like in real life.
I mean, yeah, because it can sound familiar, right? Without really sinking in.
So for me, keeping oil in the lamp looks like staying full spiritually.
Yeah.
Staying in the Word, at least daily, not more, but at least daily, staying prayerful and keeping a tender heart towards the Lord and not letting ourselves, like, get too numb,
right?
You know, when things are not maybe going our way, you know, we're having a downtime.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens if you're not careful. You know, it can, you don't usually wake up one day and just say, well, I'm done. It's more subtle than that.
Right.
You know, we get distracted, we get busy. We let things, like, slide. We talked about procrastination last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may stop praying like you used to. You may not open your Bible as often as you used to. It's just like a slippery slope, you know? And you still know the language, but you're not as close as you used to be.
Yeah, and we've talked about before, you know, the slow drift is real. It's not something that comes on in an instant. It's
right.
Just... life gets busy, life gets messy, and then just
before you know
little
it,
little by little,
yeah.
you're drifting away.
Yeah, it is. And actually, it's dangerous because it doesn't always look dramatic from the outside.
Right.
You know, you can still show up. You know, you can still post a verse here and there. You can still say all the right things, but yet inside you're dry, you know? The oil is not about appearance. It's about what's really there.
Right, because... you know, you can't borrow it from someone else. I think I said it last night, that you can be the brightest light in the room for Jesus,
yep.
But people can't siphon that light. They can't siphon that off you. They have to have that inside them as well.
That's right.
And that's why the parables of the 10 virgins is one of my favorites.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the other part. You can't live off of your mama's prayers,
right?
You can't live off your pastor's faith, and you certainly can't live off your church attendance. You know, at some point, this has to become your walk with God.
Yeah.
And let me say this pretty plainly. Secondhand faith will not carry you far. It may get you through a season, but it will not sustain life.
Yeah, and that also connects with the parable of the 10 virgins, because for a while, they all looked the same.
Yeah. That's one of the things that make the parable hit hard, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like outwardly, there was a lot that looked very similar.
Yeah.
You know, they were all there. They all showed up, right? They all knew the bridegroom was coming. They were all in the general same place.
Yep.
But when it mattered, not all of them were ready.
And if I'm being honest, I mean, that's a heart check.
Yeah, that certainly is a big one. Because church culture can make it easy to look the part.
Right.
And I think we see a lot of that today, unfortunately. You know, you can learn how to sound right in the moment. You can learn the phrases, you know, like the good phrases, you know. You can learn how to blend in. But that doesn't mean your heart is right with God.
And I think that's why people need to be honest with themselves.
Well, yeah, honest. Not, you know, a deep fake, really. Just honest. You know, ask yourself some questions like, am I still hungry for God? You know, am I still responding when he corrects me? Am I still making time for him?
Mm-hmm.
Am I still guarding what comes into my mind and heart? I think that's a big one. Or have I gotten lazy, or, you know, am I procrastinating? I mean, those are real questions. And truthfully, we all need those heart checks from time to time. You know, nobody gets to just put their walk with God on autopilot and expect that it's going to ever go well.
That's true.
Another thing that came up in our discussion was the delay. You know, I think that this is where people can really connect. I think we all agreed. I think all of us, when we talked about this, like, this is where we struggle the most, is like the waiting, the delay, like timing. You know, God's timing is not our timing.
Right.
Because a lot of us know what it feels like to be waiting on God in one area or another.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I know for myself, I can, that hits on a very personal level.
And I think one thing I keep coming back to is the delay that doesn't mean he's absent.
Absolutely.
You know, he's still there. Just because something is taking time does not mean God has forgotten. And it certainly doesn't mean he hasn't shown up.
Mm.
You know, the promise certainly hasn't disappeared. Just because we're in a long stretch of waiting doesn't mean he stepped away. You know, he is always and will always be faithful.
Yeah. And I think understanding that God is faithful even in the silence or the absence, I mean, that's really important to note, because people can start filling in the silence with the wrong story, and they can go path opposite what God's trying to
fill in the blanks themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they start telling themselves, well, maybe God's changed his mind.
Right.
You know, maybe I missed it, or maybe he's forgotten about me. And no, don't start writing in that whole false sermon in your head, which I think we are all capable and probably have all done at some point
in
our life.
Yeah.
You know, God, our God is faithful. Whether the timing makes sense to us or not, he is definitely faithful.
Yep. That's good, because that is so true.
All right. And I think waiting also has a way of clearing out some junk in us, if we truly think about that. You know, I know for myself, you know, it will show up. It shows like my impatience. You know, I'm like, you know, Lord, give me patience, and then he'll test me and allow me to see how impatient I truly can be.
Mm-hmm.
I think it can show up in fear. It shows control issues. You know, if that person who has control issues and you want to fix it, you're a fixer. You know, I'm a fixer. It can sometimes show up as a control issue. And it shows where you're trying to rush God when he's like, nope, wait. You know, waiting isn't fun. Yeah. But the Lord uses it, I think sometimes he uses it even for mercy.
Yeah.
You know, because he knows the beginning and the end. We talked about that.
Yeah. I think another important thing to say is this whole topic, it's not meant to make believers afraid. So this is not about fear at all.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because this lesson is not about making people panic every time they hear a trumpet in a song or see headlines, they lose their mind. People have done enough losing their mind already in our world. This is just like, really, just be awake, be alert, you know, don't get worked up, just stay ready and you know, in the presence of the Lord.
Right. That's a good way to say it, because I think about, we didn't really go into too much detail about it, but we talked about the groom coming back, you know, he comes back at a time because he is intentionally trying to catch his bride awake. Like Jesus,
or sleeping.
He intentionally is trying to catch his bride asleep because he's going to snatch her away, like literally in the middle of the night to go to their wedding
party. And I think the example he gave is when they come, and it generally is in the middle of the night, and Amy's like, please, you want me to be a guest in the middle of the night? Go back. You come back at 11 a.m. Right. Like, I'm still sleeping.
Because it's like the 7-day party after that.
Right. Yeah. You know? It's pretty interesting, actually.
So it's like, Jesus knows that, like, some of us will be probably legit asleep in bed, you know?
Right.
He doesn't expect us to be awake every waking hour.
Right. But I listened to him. Right. I started to listen to his next part of this to prepare for next week.
Yeah.
And he talks about, like, in the book, like she actually has her wedding garment hanging next to the bed. Because we're all like, what does she do? Like, wear it to bed?
I'm like, yeah, I would wear it. I guess, do I wear it to my pajamas? Do I wash it every day? Get my hair done?
Being ready is like having
pajamas on, my wedding dress.
Right. Having everything right there. Like the lamp is at her bedside full of oil. She's got her gown hanging next to her. You know, so.
Because I joked around that I would probably take a nap. Like, because they said it takes about an hour, or not an hour, it takes about a year.
A year.
Before you know more than likely that the groom's coming back for you. So I know, like, at that year mark, I'd probably be napping during the day,
right?
Waking up at midnight, and then being prepared.
Yeah,
you know,
is this the night he's coming for me?
Yes, the night he's coming.
You know, people. You know, I think about people here teaching on the return of Jesus and go straight into fear, and that's not what we should be doing. You know, we should actually rejoice in his coming, right?
Yeah.
But for those of us who belong to him, this is not supposed to produce like dread.
No.
It should produce like hope and reverence and a serious look at how we're living. And that is just basically live different.
Yeah. And, you know, it really should draw us closer to him. And like you said, not send us into fear or panic.
Yeah, right. The answer is not fear. The answer is just stay close to Jesus, stay in the word, stay in prayer, you know, deal with sin quickly, you know, repentance. And just keep your heart soft. You know, don't play games with compromise. You know, don't be that person who's living on the edge. Like, you know, this is almost sinful, but not quite, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's just how we live ready.
Yeah, we don't want to be that lukewarm Christian.
No, absolutely not.
Either hot or cold, but preferably hot.
Yeah.
On fire for Jesus.
He would prefer you to be hot or cold.
Yes.
But definitely not lukewarm. So stay on the hot side, though.
Yes. So, Mom, what would you say stayed with you the most from this week?
Week three. For me, I think it was a picture of the bride having responsibility while she waited.
Yeah.
Because I know for me, I've only thought about the groom going and preparing a place.
Right.
And basically where Jesus is going to prepare a place, right? I think too many believers know just enough to say, yeah, Jesus is coming back someday, but they don't really let that truth really shape how they are living here and now.
Yeah.
So I think that lesson pushed that into perspective for me. Mm-hmm. It made me think about whether I'm living like watchful, whether I'm guarding my walk, and am I really staying close, whether I'm really using my time wisely. I know sometimes I don't, so it really made me think of that.
Mm-hmm.
And whether I'm just getting too comfortable in the world that is not my home. This is not my home.
Right.
So that part really did stay with me. How about you?
That's good. I would say, you know, I agree with you. Like, I guess I didn't really know that the bride has so much responsibilities. But it was, you know, the prepare a place part, you know, because I've always loved that verse. But after this week, it felt more personal to me and more intentional and more tender, because kind of look at it differently. It's like, Jesus is preparing our mansions in heaven. But it's like, until you learn about the Jewish
tradition
of a marriage, you really don't understand like what that means.
That preparation, intentionality.
Yeah. And so it's not like a soft, flimsy way. I mean, it is a strong, it's thoughtful, and it's certain. Like, Jesus is doing this. And so that means what Jesus said he is going to do, because he said it.
Right.
I'm going to prepare a place for his,
what he says he
for
means,
his bride.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good way to put it. Not flimsy, solid. I like that.
Yeah.
And that truly does matter right now, because people are living in shaky times. We all are, right? And the world changes every 5 minutes, probably every second. The culture can't sit still. People are confused, tired, distracted, and pulled in 100 different directions. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to remember that Jesus meant what he said, and he will do what he says. That truly does matter.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we don't want to take that too lightly at all. So what do we do with all this? For me, the answer is not just, wow, that was a good lesson. Let's move on. Because like I said earlier, right, this was a good one. It kind of sits deeper. I think we need to ask some real questions. Again, am I staying close to the Lord? Am I dry and pretending I'm fine? Am I putting off obedience somewhere in my life? Am I feeding things that are dulling my hunger for God? And that could be a lot of things, you know, like, you know, you're scrolling through reels, you're just sitting, you know, binging on Netflix. That's dulling our senses, I think, to God, you know, because we're distracted in everyday life. Am I making room for him in my actual daily life? Am I getting in the Word daily? Am I talking to him throughout the day? You know?
Yeah. You know, maybe for somebody listening, this just means getting honest. Maybe you know you've drifted. Mm-hmm. Maybe you know you've gotten a little lazy in your walk with Jesus. Maybe you know you've been running on fumes, but that doesn't mean there's no hope.
That's right.
It means it's time to come back close. It's time to come home. It's time to draw in to Jesus.
Yeah. And I want to say this to whoever needs it. Conviction is not God pushing you away. It's him calling you back.
Yeah.
You know, that's mercy. Mm-hmm. If the Lord is putting his finger on something, don't harden up. Don't make excuses. Don't drown it out with noise. Like, responded. If something has caused you to really think today, that's probably the Holy Spirit leading you. Okay. Mm-hmm. So just respond. And that truly is where growth happens.
Yeah. And so I know this week, you know, it really gave us a lot to think about.
Yeah, it did. I mean, if I had to sum it up, I'd say this: the bridegroom is faithful.
Yep.
The promise still stands. The waiting matters, even though sometimes it's very difficult. And how we live while we wait truly does matter.
Yep.
So don't drift. Don't get lazy. Don't get complacent. Don't get so wrapped up in this world that your love for God gets pushed to the side.
Yeah.
Stay close to Jesus. And that's still the answer, I think.
Yep.
So I think this was a short week for us. I think a short session today. I think we should just go ahead and close in prayer.
Okay.
Do you want to do that?
Yep. Lord God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that your promises are true. And thank you that nothing you say falls to the ground. Help us stay close to you. Help us not drift, not get dull, and not get careless with our walk. Show us where we've gotten distracted. Show us where we've let things in that should not be there. Show us where we've gotten too casual. Give us hunger for your word. Give us a steady prayer life. And keep our hearts soft and easy to correct. Help us live in a way that honors you while we wait. And for the person who feels tired, worn down, or stuck in a long season of waiting, remind them that you have not forgotten them. You are still faithful, and you are still at work. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So I want to thank you so much for listening to week 3 recap of The King is Coming by John Bevere.
We hope this gave you something to think about and helped you look at these scriptures in a deeper way.
And if this episode encouraged you, share it with somebody who could use it today.
And again, if you want the full teaching, make sure to check out John Bevere's The King is Coming study for yourself. You will not be disappointed.
Yes, and we'll be back soon with our next recap. Until then, stay grounded,
stay hungry,
and stay unfiltered in your walk with Jesus.
See you next time.
This is Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. We look forward to seeing you right here next Thursday. We love you. God bless.